Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
Hey, yeah.
The news you want.
Is the perception still that a black man with a gun is a criminal?
With the topics you need.
Marching might have been good for back in the day, but what kind of effectiveness is marching have on society today?
The Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have the highest homicide offending rate.
4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 1 p.m. Pacific. It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Get it twisted.
On blogtalkradio.com.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's heard here every Friday afternoon, 4 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com and WWPR. It's 1490 a.m. I'm so glad to have you with us this afternoon. Finally, a break in the onslaught of weather that's been happening in our on the East Coast. And all across the country, actually, some places got it a lot worse than we did. So we are grateful that it's starting to react a little bit. I'm hearing if there's going to be some snow tomorrow, but it's not going to be nearly as much as we got the last week. 40 inches of snow so far this winter. 40 inches, more than we've ever gotten ever. And I thought it was global warming. There's something wrong here. But anyway, yours truly, Ron Kelly, planted firmly in the air chair. Glad to be here with you, everyone. Glad you can make it back. It's www.theronkellyshow.com. It's the official website of The Ron Kelly Show. You can follow the show on Twitter. And the Ron Kelly Show is also on Facebook. And you can catch archived episodes of the show on Twitter, on Stitcher.com. Actually, and you can get us on blogtalkradio.com/Ron Kelly Show. Once again, so glad to have you here. We will be talking in just a few minutes to mayoral candidate for the city of Patterson, Aslan Gow Sr. We'll talk to him. He's one of the candidates who's been certified, because we're only interviewing certified candidates here on Ron Kelly Show, because many have declared and picked up their packages, but they haven't gotten the requisite number of petition signed, and probably won't. You know, there's a lot going on with this election, people posturing for jobs and, you know, folks declaring who really haven't even begun to have a campaign. It's just been kind of crazy. So we'll talk to Councilman Aslan Gow, former Second Ward Councilman Aslan Gow Sr. We'll talk to him in just a few minutes. Anyway, once again, glad to have you guys here. In the news, the trial for the young man who got killed sitting in a gas station down in Florida, young man who got killed, the trial of Mr. Nunn is going on right now, and it's just a... You know, it's just a cry and shame that these things are taking place, especially in Florida, where you have the law that says you can shoot somebody if you feel like you're in fear for your life. You see, now the problem with this whole thing is what constitutes fear? See, there's no regulation for fear. Nothing constitutes fear. You have it's all about what you feel. And see, I think that's the biggest problem, because, for example, if here in New Jersey, anyway, if somebody comes into your home, you have to give them. If somebody comes into your home, you catch someone in your home, even if you have a gun pointed at them, you have to. And if they try to leave, you have to let them leave. You know, that's the law. You have to let them leave. You can't like shoot somebody in the back, or I mean, if you have to kill somebody, even in your own home, here in this state, anyway. It has to be a set of circumstances that will allow you there has to be a set of circumstances that are in line with what the law says. And if those circumstances are in line with the law says, then you can get justifiable homicide. But if you kill someone, for example, in your home, let's say they were trying to leave and you shot them in the back, that's murder or manslaughter in the first degree. So with this stand your ground law, there's no specifics. It's just what the person interprets as a dangerous situation. I mean, so if somebody is coming at me with a knitting needle, I can shoot them because I felt like my because if they came at me with a knitting needle, that means I can shoot them because I felt my life was in danger. I mean, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. So, you know, that's one of the biggest problems with this law, that there's no specifics as to the fear factor and what you think constitutes fear. Anyway, so there are people down there who are looking into this and trying to get this law reversed or under some kind of control, because it's getting ridiculous with the people getting shot. 26 people have been shot, and have used the stand your ground law as a defense. So they definitely, you know, the problem with that law is that there's no specifics as to the fear factor. It's all about what you interpret as fear, and I think that's the biggest problem. There are no regulations for that. In any case, we are as advertised, we are joined by former Patterson Second Ward Councilman and current mayoral candidate for 2014, former Councilman Aslan Gow Sr. Welcome, Councilman Gow, to the Ron Kelly Show.
Thank you, Ron. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. Glad to have you here, taking time out of your busy schedule, Councilman Gow. Let me ask you before we get started. Now, your campaign headquarters is up and running, I presume.
I'm sorry, Ron, I missed that. What did you say?
The campaign headquarters is up and operating at this moment.
That's
at
correct.
This time. Okay.
That's correct. Absolutely.
All right. And the location is Chamberlain. What's the exact address, Councilman Gow?
330 Chamberlain Ave.
Okay. All right. That's where you. Okay. All right. All right. Mm-hmm. Great. Good to have you here, Councilman Gow. This whole thing with this campaign of people declared, undeclared, there's a lot of tomfoolery going on, for lack of a better word, Councilman. Do you think would you say, Councilman Gow, that is diverting attention from what the real issues are in this campaign and what's happening in the city of Patterson as a whole?
Well, in what respect? The fact that there are so many candidates?
Right, there's so many candidates and there's so much being said. Do you think that it may be deflecting attention from some of the real issues and may, in fact, even be confusing the electorate?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Since you put it that way, there is no doubt the electorate is confused. We have few administrations, let's say for the last 20 years, the city has been declining tremendously, one worse after the other, and it's gotten to the point where it's created this perception that maybe anybody could run for office and do a better job. And you know what? While that may be true for some, it's the furthest thing from the truth, Ron. Nobody has any idea what it really, really is going to take to turn this city around, because, you know, saying that I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that is one thing, but when you get inside, it's a whole different ballgame. It's something that you cannot just change by yourself. It's going to take a lot more than just one single individual going in there, but at least a person who has a good understanding and the knowledge of what city government entails, that could be the advantage to the next mayoral hopeful.
Let me ask you, Councilman Gow, there's lots of, there's been major attacks going on that have been pointed at the incumbent, for the lack of a better phrase. Lots of talk has been going on, and a character word has been used, been thrown, tossed around a lot, Councilman Gow. So let's talk about your character, for example. Now, I think that if I asked 10 people to characterize Councilman Gow in one word, I think many would say intense. or intense or angry Councilman Gao. Now, just for the folks out there who are listening to the program, I'm sure there are many of them who are hearing this, take a moment and describe what you really feel. If it's not anger, then what is it, Councilman?
Well, Ron, you know what? For the most part, you know, it all stemmed from maybe one or two, let's say, isolated incidents where I was really called out. You know, I've been put under such scrutiny in a sense that nobody else that has the same qualification as I do has been put through. I have been tested with the greatest challenge. My anger, as some may interpret it, is not anger at all, Ron. Everybody knows who knows me knows that I'm very compassionate, and I'm very passionate about what I feel and how I feel. And, you know, sometimes, you know, that could be misinterpreted. For the most part, I believe the residents of the city of Patterson know that I'm a fighter. I have been described as a maverick. I have been told by some professors, there were professors that were quoted in newspaper articles about my style and, you know, how dedicated and committed I am, and have said if more people had my passion or had my character, Patterson wouldn't be in the state that it's in. Now, I've done nothing but fight for the residents of Patterson. I'll give you a quick example because I know, you know, the time is limited and, you know, we don't want to get distracted, you know, from, you know, a lot of the things that we want to talk about. But, for example, when the police and fire departments needed me, my initiatives made the Patterson Fire Department one of the best in the nation. And that was quoted by the Boston Globe. It said Patterson's response time was number one ranked in the nation. The police department and its members, all the things that they needed, all the support that they needed. I was there for these guys, and they loved me. Perfect example, Ron. They loved me. They loved what I stood for. They loved the fact that I gave them what they needed. They loved the fact that I stood up for them. But then when it came to the collective bargaining process where the unions, you know, get their raises every year, and I took a stand against that, not that they don't deserve you know, any compensation for what they do. Our police and firemen are paid very well, regardless of what some people may say. But it became an affordability issue. And then I was thinking about the taxpayer. So, you know, they love you when you're with them, and then they oppose you when you start talking about, you know, finances and things like that. So, you know what? You know, you get a few disgruntled people. They tell their family members that I'm an anti-police, anti-fire, and you know, those kind of rumors spread, and they create a bad perception. So, you know what, I fight for police and fire, and I fight for the support, unions and things like that, but then I have to fight for the taxpayers, too, because it's an affordability issue. And those are, like, some of the areas where some people might say I'm too hot-headed. Well, if I'm hot-headed, it's because I'm hot for the taxpayer. This is a distressed city, and affordability is the issue. So, you know, people are going to say things. You know, you can't please everybody, Ron, but I can tell you for the most part, the people in Patterson, they believe in me, they know what I stand for, and they know that I'm a straight guy.
Okay. Thank you, Councilman. Now, let me ask you this. Now, you ran for council in your ward, and you weren't successful. And now you were successful at getting another election, and then in a second time you weren't successful. So tell me, Councilman Gao, in our listening audience, many Pattersonians who are listening to the program right now, where does intestinal fortitude come from, Councilman Gao, to run for citywide office when the folks that you served for 12 years, for the most part, turned their backs on you, and And most folks, most people would probably not want to run for office again in Patterson's because of what happened to you. So what drives you, Councilman? What drives you to run this time for citywide office?
Excellent question, Ron. For the last 12 years that I served the second ward, I did a job that a mayor was supposed to do. I was not just in a legislative capacity. I actually created accountability, and that offended a lot of people. In the beginning, there were a lot of people that opposed it, and I'm not talking about the residents. I'm talking about political figures. They didn't like the idea that I was doing the things that I shouldn't be doing. But what I was doing was I was improving the quality of life for the residents of the second ward. I've done more things for the second ward than any single official has ever done for the entire city of Patterson. And then outside of that, people started recognizing what I was doing and how successful I was in the second ward. And I started going into the other parts of the city where they needed help. And what I was doing is what I was showing them, that I got rid of the gangs in the second ward. I got rid of the open drug markets in the second ward. I created accountability in the police department and DPW. I made them more responsible to the community. And you know what? When I started seeing that and I started saying to myself, you know, here I am doing what I was elected to do, serve the people. I didn't get into the politics to go along to get along. And then I started realizing that, you know what, I could do something better and bigger and greater as a mayor. The mayor is the chief executive of the city. He's the one that directs these various departments, not the city council. But again, I was able to do the things that I did by creating accountability. Now, I had this ambition to be the mayor, and I'm on my way to being the next mayor of Patterson. The fact that I lost the last election was part of a conspiracy. Everybody clearly knows that the objective was to stop Councilman Gow now because we do not want him to change Patterson. We don't want Patterson to move forward. They have made Patterson a social service community. All welfare, poverty, unemployment, crime. Nobody's really prospering here, but other areas are prospering, okay? In a sense, crime is paying, but it's not paying where it's supposed to be paying. People are leaving the city. People are now in fear. We're having shootings every single night. Our mayor's not doing anything about it. He doesn't know how to handle it. The previous mayor, while he may say crime was lower when he was there, well, compared to now, it was lower, but it was extremely high then, too. So I positioned myself to say, you know what, I can create the accountability that needs to be done. I can create show them that we have the leadership, that we have the ability to move Patterson forward. This is not rocket science, man. We did it in the second ward. We proved we improved the quality of life. And getting back to the election, the fact that I lost, they put five people in that race, Ron. No single individual could have beat me one-on-one, two-on-one, or even three-on-one. By putting five people in that race, by confusing the voters, just like they're doing right now with this mayoral election. It's almost the same plot. They're doing the same thing. This one will siphon some votes here. The other one will siphon votes there. And we have a chance of getting what we had again. Either we'll go backwards to have another 4 years of Torres, or we'll wind up with Jeff Jones. And we can't afford to have that. So the fact that I lost is really irrelevant. The fact that I rebounded from that, that I'm stronger now, that I'm wiser now, that my vision is clearer now, and my destiny is to be the next mayor of Patterson. Because against all odds, I will move this city forward. There will be police presence. There will be police accountability. The people will respect the police, and the police will respect them.
And we'll talk about
this. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say we'll get to that. We had to take a break, Councilman Gow. But when we come back, we'll talk about accountability and transparency, some of the words that are tossed about among some of the other candidates, and just how realistic are these words? How probable or how possible is it going to be for a mayor to be transparent and accountable under these circumstances? We'll take a break and we'll come right back with a former councilman and 2014 mayoral candidate, Aslan Gao, in just a second. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com and WWPR 1490 AM.
Wonderful.
There was a need in talk radio, and one man will fill that need.
What kind of effectiveness is Marching Animal Society today?
And you too can be a witness. The Ron Kelly Show on blogtalkradio.com.
Some statistics are surprising, some are unbelievable, and some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%, and that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Now, back with more of the fastest growing internet radio show on the World Wide Web.
And it's on. It's go time.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Yes, indeed. It's the Ron Kelly Show right here on WWPR 1490 AM. And on the web is blogtalkradio.com. Thank you, everyone, for joining me. What's up, Patterson? How are y'all doing? Lots of Pattersonians listening to the program right now that are interested in what former Second Ward Councilman and mayoral candidate Aslan Gao Sr. has to say. Everyone, he's here, and we're having a conversation right now. And thank you so much so far, Councilman Gao, for your candid answers. Now, let's talk about accountability and transparency for a second, Councilman Gao, because I'm of I hear that, I kind of chuckle because it seems so far-fetched, Councilman, for an administration of any size to be transparent and accountable, because there's so many things that can go wrong. There's so many things that are not under the control of the mayor. Now, you have a council that you have to get along with and other folk. And especially in the city of Patterson, you have an MOA and all of these other things going on. So how possible is it, Councilman Gao, or how transparent would a Gao administration be?
Oh, Ron, it would be the most transparent of any administration you have ever seen, because I am a servant. You know, the government was designed for the people, by the people, not for the government and by the government. What would happen with me is I would return back the power to the residents of the city. That's going to be the difference. My administration will reflect people from Patterson, department heads, directors, and a lot right now of your police, fire, DPW. None of them live in our city. Now, you know, sometimes you'll make a concession based on somebody's qualification and or if you couldn't find somebody locally to fill that position. But I will do everything in my power to hire people from Patterson first. Make sure my chief of police lives here. Make sure my fire chief lives here. Make sure my DPW director lives here. Right now, none of them do. So why should they care? Most of your police don't live here. Most of your fire don't live here. But you know what? That's because of a state law. Now, maybe at one time it was good, but what it did was it empowered the politicians by giving these unions this opportunity to live out of town by passing such legislation. Well, today it's a different climate. Today your crime is high. If your cops don't live here, why should they care? Your streets are filthy dirty. Your infrastructure is falling apart. Your DPW workers, most of them live here, but they are the lowest paid you have ever seen. They don't have the clout and the power that some of the other unions have. So being transparent is the most thing. Empowering our residents and our people that we employ is going to be the most important thing, and that's going to be the beginning of how we create accountability. There's no reason in the world why we can't do it. One thing about me, I will create that accountability by delegating that authority, and I will know what every single person that works under me is doing, whether they're working or whether they're not working. The people that have been there till now, Ron, have gotten too comfortable. Everybody knows everybody, and everybody seems to do what they need to do to get along so they can go along. That's not going to happen under my administration, and if you know anything about me as a second ward councilman, I didn't play that game. I served the people, I respected the people, and I responded to the people, and that's what I will continue to do.
Let me ask, thank you, Councilman. Let me ask you this now, since you did bring up the police, and policing and crime prevention is probably, I would say, the number one issue on the minds of many, many Pattersonians across the city, not just, you know, in the fourth or first, but all over, because it seems to me that, and according to the reports and news reports, that the crime is happening everywhere. So let me ask you, Councilman Gao, that wouldn't the police actually need help? The Patterson Police Department needs help. So why has the administration been so resistant to special police appointees? And what is your position on that, and what would you do as mayor of the city of Patterson in regards to that?
Well, I could tell you this, Ron, because I have a police background, and I am very pro-police, but we will not tolerate any kind of police abuse. I don't know what this present mayor's way of thinking about, you know, what he's doing or what he's not doing, but I can honestly tell you this. We did have at one time, under the Torres administration, we were at our lowest as far as manpower was concerned then, and we had high crime then. But you had a chief of police, you had three deputy chiefs, you had seven captains, you had 26 lieutenants, almost 70 sergeants, and Torres created a blue ribbon panel committee. There was supposed to be an advisory committee of residents and professional people to give some guidance and, you know, some input to the police department about the city of Patterson and its community. At the same time, he wanted to pay $500,000 for a consulting company to come in and manage a police department. Yet he has a police chief, as I just stated to you, the table of organization, I broke it down. And on top of that, he has a police director. So Torres didn't know what he was doing at that time. Now Torres put on a lot of police officers. I supported that initiative, but I was reluctant because I knew we couldn't afford it. And sure enough, after all the promotions were made and after all these new officers were hired under the Jones administration, because of the tremendous amount of debt that Torres left us, we had no choice but to lay off 125 of those police officers. And at the same time, another 35 to 40 police officers were retiring. So realistically, we were down about 170 police officers, and we continue to be at this point. Now, what do? We need resources. We need to start thinking outside of the box. So we have an alternative. And what's interesting about what I'm going to tell you right now is, and I don't know how much time we have, cut me off if I'm going too far, but 12 years ago, I talked about special police officers. The difference between special police officers and regular police officers are that special police must be city residents by ordinance, and they are fully trained through the police academy, but they are part-time. They do everything the regular police do, training and everything, but part-time. But the taxpayer is not hit with the burden of giving them those generous salaries that the police presently receive or the health benefits that they get. But they would be covered while they're working on the job. They would get the same benefit package, God forbid anybody got hurt. But my point is this, Ron. I said this 12 years ago. 12 years later, they're finally talking about bringing special police officers, but not to the level that I wanted to. There's a class one and a class two. The one I'm talking about is class two, fully trained, armed police officers. The ones that Jones is talking about is putting class ones on. minimal training, they don't carry firearms, and they don't have full police power. And what he wants to do is utilize them for parades and special events and giving citations out and things like that. That's not what we need. We need armed police officers, visible police officers in the neighborhoods, so there will be a strong presence and a deterrence for crime. And the last thing I'll say about that point is, and as we speak, now the state is ordering the city of Patterson, put special police officers in your city. Can you imagine that?
Now they're being, so the city of Patterson is under state order, is now trying to implement a special police force?
That
is what you're
absolutely
saying,
correct. That is absolutely correct, Ron.
And this is, and it just makes sense, as you said, Councilman. It makes sense because you don't have to pay the exorbitant wages that the police officers are making now and all the other things. You know, it's a win-win situation. The people who are from different wards can be deployed in those wards because they're the people who people know.
Absolutely.
You know, you'd rather have, so I'm, you know, under the impression that I think that these guys, these young guys and these young kids out here who dismiss other police officers they don't recognize or they don't know, would listen to and respect the people who are from their communities. So I'm glad that that's finally going to happen, Councilman Gao. Let's move on to, let's talk about, because without a good police force, without some policing, we are not going to be able to get investment in the city of Patterson. So what are your thoughts on outside investment, people coming in and actually spending some real money in the city of Patterson? What are your thoughts and what efforts will you make as mayor to get people to come in here and spend some money?
Excellent. Let me just add a little something about the special police, and then I'll answer that question directly. In addition to putting on special police officers, based on the table of organization right now, we would be able to put about 80, maybe 90 special police officers part-time. Imagine now you have a division of 80 or 90 police officers. You have a major problem right now, for example, in the 4th Ward with the shootings. What do? We deploy 30, maybe 40 guys down there. You have never seen such police presence in your life. This is the kind of stuff that's going to deter the crime. This is the kind of stuff that's going to stop the shootings once and for all. And it will allow the regular police to respond to the high-priority jobs. So look at the benefit of that. And this is where I'm going with that, Ron. Once we make Patterson clean and safe again, people are lined up and they want to invest in Patterson. And I'm going to tell you what's going on right now in the 4th Ward. There are investors that are buying up homes over there at an alarming rate. And why are they doing that, Ron? Because Patterson is prime real estate. The people of the 4th Ward, while they are out there killing and shooting and selling drugs, investors are buying these properties. It's almost like Monopoly. You buy a house, you buy two houses, you buy three houses, you buy a block. Before you know it, you're building a hotel. There's so much potential here. And unfortunately, people are dying in the 4th Ward. People are leaving the 4th Ward. The 4th Ward is central to Route 4, Route 17, the Garden State Parkway, Route 80, 12 miles from the George Washington Bridge, 15 miles from the Holland and Lincoln Tunnels. We have a gem of real estate. We don't have any more land, Ron. We can't create more land, but we can start reinvesting. We can start rebuilding Patterson. We will never see the days of the Silk Era, but you know what? We can move into a different direction. Okay, you know, there's so much progress to be made. There's so much opportunity for prosperity in lieu of the crime and all the other things that are going on. Create new jobs for the people. But you know what? While everybody's talking that talk, they don't have the vision. They don't have the understanding. They don't see the value in what I'm saying. And let me say this. 12 years ago when I ran for office, here's a perfect example about vision. We didn't have a DMV, Division of Motor Vehicles. I was the first one to talk about bringing back DMV. Two later into my tenure, John Jurgenti and other politicians saw the value in what I was saying, and they jumped on it, and they brought the DMV back to Patterson. That was my initiative. But I didn't have to say, oh, it was my idea. I need the credit. I didn't do that. It happened. My vision was there. The right people had the resources. They made it happen. The Great Falls. I talked about the Great Falls, making it a historical site. The economic engine to move Patterson in the ATP site area forward. And what happened? Several years later, Tom Rooney, they all jumped on it. He created the design of the falls. He showed a vision. I didn't say, oh, that was my idea. I needed that. No. They did it. It happened. I like the idea. I can talk about things. I will empower people through my ideas to make things happen. Now we're talking about crime, worst crime we've ever seen, lack of police presence, lack of visibility. I talked about special police officers. Now the state is saying you need to put special police officers on the job in your city because they know it will help. It'll be a tremendous benefit. So you know what? When we make this town clean and safe, the investment potential will be greater. I have some excellent ideas for redevelopment and economic development, but I'm not going to get into any real specific details because as mayor, I don't want anybody campaigning out there saying that this was their idea. My ideas and everything that I just mentioned to you are listed in a pamphlet that I can show you was from 12 years ago. So my vision is still there. My ideas are still here. It's going to be up to the people of Patterson to say, did we have enough of this or not? Are we ready to move forward or not? So it's up to the voter this time. They cannot vote the way they've been voting according to ethnic backgrounds and, you know, race or, you know, whatever the case may be. We're all in this together. I'm born and raised in the city of Patterson. My heart is here. And you know what? If people have had enough, this is our time. And, Ron, one thing I do say and I continue to say, if I can't prove myself in my first term, I will be the first one to resign. I will say, I am not fit for this job and I can't do this job. Let somebody else more qualified do it than me. You show me anybody else who will do that.
Probably no one, because there's a lot of these campaigns are ego driven, Councilman Gao. But I'm gonna go take another break. But before we go, Councilman, to the next break, I'm gonna give you something to ponder. Now, it may get bad before it gets better, and there may need to be some dramatic cuts in order to balance this budget and get the state out of here and this MOA nonsense. And I want to know, when we get back, are you prepared to make the big cuts if need be in order to get this budget balanced and to get the state of New Jersey out of our head? We'll take a break. We'll come right back with former councilman and 2014 mayoral candidate for the city of Patterson, Mr. Aslan Gao Sr. We'll be back in just a moment with more. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com at WWPR 1490 AM.
The Ron Kelly Show. BlogTalkRadio.com. And on the web, TheRonKellyShow.com.
So coming to the stage is a really funny guy. Y'all know him. Put your hands together. Give it up for George Wilborn.
Folks, why won't we go to the doctor? My uncle calls. Speech all slurred, complaining his arm's numb. He calls everybody under the sun. Aunt Peyton, his old army buddy George. He even called my daughter Tierra because, you know, she's got a year of nursing. Everyone thinks he needs to go to the doctor, including me. So he said, well, will you take me? I'm like, I'm on the road. He goes, I'll wait. Stroke's no joke. If you or someone you love have symptoms of stroke, don't call family. Don't dial a friend. Don't wait. It may be too late. Dial 911. Time loss is brain loss. Seriously, dial 911.
Learn all the symptoms of a stroke at strokesnojoke.org. That's strokesnojoke.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
And welcome back, everybody. It's the Ron Kelly Show. It's right here on WWPR 1490 AM. And on the web is blogtalkradio.com. www.theronkellyshow.com is the official website of this show. And you can catch me and my homeboy, the young gun, the unflappable one, goes by the name of Lamont Gates. You can catch us on Wednesday night. It's called Real Talk Live, Ron Kelly, Lamont Gates on WPR 1490 AM and on blogtalkradio.com. Wednesday nights at 8 p.m., check us out, Lamont and I. We really put it in, as they say, on Real Talk Live with yours truly, Ron Kelly, and my homeboy, the unflappable young gun, Lamont Gates. All right, we're back with a former councilman and current mayoral candidate for the city of Patterson, for the great city of Patterson, I like to say, Aslan Gao, senior. And before we went to break, Councilman Gao, I posed a question about, you know, about possibly having to slash this budget, because it seems every year, Councilman, that the budget gets higher and higher, and there's always these dramatic announcements that they're going to need a 50% hike, a 60% hike. So are you prepared? Are you prepared to make the painful, you know, probably painful cuts in order to get this budget back under control and get the state of New Jersey out of our town?
Yes, I am, Ron. When I was the council president, I was one of the first ones to take the initiative to get that budget process going a lot earlier than what we have been doing. This next mayor is really going to inherit something. Jeffrey Jones did inherit a mess. Unfortunately, he wasn't prepared to deal with it. This next mayor is going to have his work cut out for him. There's no doubt about it. We cannot afford to lay off any more police. We must put on more police. In addition, I talk about special police officers. We need to put more police officers on. I have an idea which I think will resonate very well with our governor, depending on who the governor is, whether it'll be Christie or we'll have a new governor. We are definitely going to need his help. We're going to have to develop a relationship with him, and we're going to have to lay out our plan and be very clear about what we're dealing with. I can tell you when the governor cut our budget under the Jones administration, for whatever reason, I went down there as council president along with my chair people, and we were at least to bring back half of what he took away from us, which was $12 million at the time. Based on, you know, my initiative and my colleagues, we came back with $6 million more than what we had. So I know what it's going to take. We got to go in. We have to restructure just about every department. Now, I know Jones has had a very difficult time because he didn't have that relationship with the governor. And the governor doesn't want to give us any more state aid. They want to wean us off that aid. And you want to know something? I would love for nothing more. But people have to understand that one-third of this city does not contribute to our tax base. Only two-thirds is carrying the bulk of the weight. Now, when I say that, that means all these county, federal, state buildings, and these nonprofit organizations don't contribute anything to our tax base. And we have more people in our city that calls for more services, more sanitation and sewage costs, and all of these things compounded. And one of the big factors, a lot of people don't understand, and these are things that a mayor is going to have to address. There's no more going along to get along here. This is about putting Patterson back on the map, doing what's right by its people, by its citizens. Some people are going to get hurt. Nobody can tell you that nobody's going to get hurt by this. But we pay for health benefits for over 700 people that are retired. Now, that costs us $16,000 per person, okay? That may include, that number could double or triple depending if there's a spouse, a child, or two. So we're paying some significant money in health care after people leave. There's not too many municipalities that do that anymore. Nobody talks about these things. Nobody understands where's the money going. And the thing is, we're not bringing in enough money to cover all these kind of expenses. So in addition to knowing what this mayor is going to have to do, make some drastic decisions, he's going to have to sit down with the unions. The unions are going to have to start waking up. and start understanding they cannot get a raise every single year, okay? Those are the things that contributed to this tremendous debt that Jeffrey Jones inherited. That was all left by Joey Torres. And Joey kept telling the council, it's in the budget, it's in the budget. And I asked the question, what do you mean it's in the budget? What budget? The taxpayer's pocket? Is that what you're talking about? Well, the hard reality hit after Torres lost his election and Jones took over. We were $78 million in debt. And that's what led to all those layoffs, not just police department, DPW, and other city employees. And literally has left us with a zero bank account to do anything. But in lieu of all of that, I am ready for that challenge, Ron. I will develop the relationship that we need with the governor. It doesn't matter whether he's a Republican or a Democrat. We need as much support as we can get. And another big area, we contribute $39,900,000 of our tax dollars to the Board of Education. Yet we have no say in the Board of Education. A lot of people don't even know that. So while it's a state-run school system and their budget is over $500 million, we have to go in our pocket and dig out $39 million and contribute it to that. And that's one thing I will share with you. I want to sit down with the governor. And listen, this is the kind of thinking we need to do. You want us off the state aid. You're only giving us $22 million a year. We're giving you $39 million a year for the Board of Education. You're running the Board of Education. There's no light at the end of the tunnel for the city residents to take back its Board of Education. One, because we can't afford it, and more importantly, we haven't even demonstrated we can run our own city. So my plan is, proposal this to the governor, let us keep our $39 million. You keep your $22 million. Let us manage ourselves with the $39 million. That will give us a $17 million a year advantage. You sit there with the unions. They have to understand the predicament that we're in. You cannot get a raise every single year. Now, the cops are being paid good money. You know, they're not making the money that other towns are making. We understand that. But you're still making a good salary, and you're getting health benefits. And you're even being covered after you retire. So there's a lot of room here, okay, to think outside of the box. And the potential is very real. Now, you show me anybody who came up with an idea like that. And that's just one little example of what we need to do. One thing I tell you, Ron, is not going to happen is the taxes are not going to go up. But people are promising that they're going to lower taxes. And I can assure you, in this present climate, taxes are not going to go down. But at least maybe we can stop it from going up at this point. And that will be a big help for us.
Thank you, Councilman. Let me ask you, there's lots of talk, and you mentioned yourself the DPW, and now I work for a sanitation company, and I probably make triple what the DPW workers in Patterson are being paid. I would say about triple the salary of a DPW worker in Patterson. And we're all uniformed. We have a 401k plan. They give us boosts. The company takes care of us. And because, and like in any situation, Councilman Gow, if an employee is being taken care of, they're going to work harder. They're going to move faster, and they're going to be more proficient at what they do. So, would you be willing, Councilman Gow, to look at possibly giving these DPW workers who work very, very hard, who are paid next to nothing, would you be willing to look at some point giving these guys an increase in their salaries?
Absolutely, Ron. I have always been supportive of DPW workers, never really crazy about some of the leadership and directors that have been there. They have neglected their employees without a doubt. They are the lowest paid probably anywhere. And they don't have, unfortunately for them, they don't have the strong resources that police and fire may have, but they definitely do a tremendous amount of work for the city. You know, and there's a way to address that. I have a plan for DPW. Look at the mess that we have these last few days with the snowstorm, not having any salt. The roads are icy. It's 3 days later. cars are sliding off the ice and actually hitting other cars. The traffic is bumper to bumper anywhere you go in the city. Everybody's trying to find an alternative route. It's not due to because of the workers. It's because of the lack of leadership there. I am absolutely, without a doubt, in my mind, looking to give them the compensation they deserve, okay, so they can make a reasonable salary and be able to take care of their families. But, you know, there's going to be restructuring there. There's going to be restructuring everywhere. People are going to earn what they do, and they're going to have to contribute back to this community. And you know what? This is not complicated. This is economics. You live here. You work here. You want to play here. Well, guess what? You need to be compensated for what you do. We're not going to take anything away from anybody. We're going to do a full evaluation. And you know what? There's a lot of areas where money is being wasted. And our law department is one of the worst areas. On an average, for the last few administrations that have been there, they wastefully spend $8 to $10 million a year in lawsuits and outside law firms. And these are the areas where we need to really concentrate. And our law department, as we speak, has been compromised. And I have showed and I have proven that there's something wrong in this area. But yet nobody wants to address it. So, you know, getting back to DPW, I will do what I need to do with them. This city will be cleaner and safer than anybody has ever imagined in a long time.
Thank you, Councilman. We've got about 8 minutes or so left to the program. Now, speaking of lawsuits, now you, from what I've read in, you know, in the newspapers and whatnot, have some pending litigation against the city of Patterson for things that you claim that they did that was wrong. Now, somebody just shot me a question that if you were elected, if that litigation is still ongoing, Councilman Gao, and if you win the election, would you be willing to drop that litigation against the city of Patterson?
Well, let me say this, Ron. The reason why I filed the civil lawsuit, federal civil lawsuit, against the city members, the former chief of police, a high-ranking police official, Torres, and so on, was because of an incident that had happened where they were stealing my neighbor's vehicle. And in the end of this, my involvement, they violated my civil rights. Instead of investigating the actual crime, Torres was retaliating against me for supporting the former chief of police at that time. Now, I brought this to the attorney general's office. I brought it to the prosecutor's office. There was official misconduct here. Joey Torres didn't do anything. He basically condoned what the police department did. They issued me a speeding ticket. This was a car theft ring that was operating in the area, stealing high-profile vehicles, and they never investigated the crime. And this is what a lot of people don't know. You didn't investigate the crime, but yet the official that tried to stop the crime, you charged him. And in the end, the prosecutor's office stepped in, presented the case to the Superior Court judge, and they even told the judge, if anything, the councilman should have been applauded. And the judge agreed, the complaint was dismissed. But what happened was, when they were ordered to stop what they were doing, that they knew this was personal, it was politically motivated, they went into another area, a personal area of my life, and they did something very illegal. And when we found out about it, the only thing I could do was file a civil lawsuit. Anybody in their right mind would have done it. I'm a civilian. I'm also, you know, a taxpayer and citizen of this city. Everybody should be treated equally.
And a police officer as well, Councilman.
And I have the police background. Yeah, absolutely, Ron.
A law enforcement official, right.
Yeah. And interestingly, believe it or not, there was a Newark police officer involved in that whole mess. But yet they never investigated that police officer. So I had to file the lawsuit. The case could have been resolved and settled immediately, but they chose not to. The city has, up to date, spent over $500,000 to defend itself. I have spent a lot of money. So while people are saying, oh, well, you know, you're suing the city, you're suing the taxpayer. Well, guess what? I'm a taxpayer, too. We pay $12,000 a year to live where I live, and I don't live in a mansion. So it's my money also. And it's costing me a lot of money out of my pocket. The city's not defending me in my case against the city. So, you know, whatever's going to become of that case, I don't know. If the time comes, if I'm the mayor of Patterson, I will do the right thing by the city of Patterson. At this point, I cannot do anything about that case. It would most likely be referred to the attorney general because of a conflict with me, but I would be more than willing to sit down with the attorney general if and when that date does come and resolve this for the best interest of everybody.
All right, Councilman Gow. Now, within the last, we got about a couple minutes left, and I just want to close by asking you this. Now, there is, I'm a political novice, I guess you can say, but I've, because of my radio show, I've been around a lot of politicians, and I've learned a lot about politics, and there's much smoke and mirrors and just total nonsense going on within the, I want to ask you to comment on anything in particular, Councilman Gow, but there is just so much nonsense going on within the some of the quote unquote campaigns of some of the quote unquote candidates, many of whom haven't even filed petitions yet. So I'll ask you, Councilman Gow, will you stay above the fray and will you run a fact based campaign, and will you stay above the fray of you know that it's coming, and will you stay above all of that and run a fact based campaign?
I sure will, Ron, and I always have. I'm not a dirty player. I never have been, but I've been subjected to more things. I've been hit with everything, Ron. They have went after my own family. They have done everything in their power to discredit me. My motivation is clear. I'm here to move this city forward. I am here to serve the residents of Patterson. I am not a politician. If I was a politician, we wouldn't be having this conversation. I am not one to go along to get along. I want the power of the people to rise, take control back of its government. We are a nonpartisan city. We want to keep it that way. I'm a Democrat, but we don't want Democratic Party members or Republican Party members running our city. This is our city. We need to take it back. I will definitely rise to that occasion. People are dying in our city. We have the worst crime problem we have ever seen. We have a lack of police response and presence. We have filthy and dirty streets. We have neglected parks. We have boarded up homes. We have high taxes. We are just a hairline away from being declared a Camden. And if the state comes in and takes this city over, then it's over for all of us. You won't be able to move far enough away from Patterson, because all the surrounding municipalities will have to pick up the cost. And where's the fairness in that? We have a chance right now. Everything that I talked about 12 years ago is what I and all the other candidates are saying right now. The only difference is I have proven it by cleaning up the second ward. I showed them we can do it, and the potentials are here. The abilities are here. The resources are here. We just got to get enough people to stop hearing and listening to people who talk behind other people's backs. We are tired of backbiters. We are tired of people slandering people. For the most part, if you ask anybody about me, Ron, if it's not their personal experience, I can't make everybody happy. But for the most part, out of 100 people, I'll bet you less than 5 people will say they dislike me. Say that about any other candidate, and I bet you the numbers will be extremely alarming. People are tired of phony politicians. They're tired of phony promises. And if you could show me one politician that is more dedicated than me right now, can prove to you that they are the better qualified, that they will be a hands-on mayor, in the street, visible, working with everybody, I will not run. I will step down right now.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Councilman Gow. Former Councilman Aslan Gow, senior and current mayoral candidate for the great city of Patterson. Thank you so much for your time, Councilman Gow. We'll see you on the trail.
Thank you so much, Ron. You have a great day.
You too. Thank you, Councilman. Everyone that was former Second Ward Councilman Aslan Gao, mayoral candidate for the great city of Paterson, New Jersey, letting us know what his plans are for the city of Paterson. Everybody, okay, so thanks, everybody, for joining in with me this afternoon. We'll see you back here next week for another edition. So until then, take care of yourself, and be nice to somebody short. You never know when somebody short may have to be nice to you. Take care, everybody, and we are out of here.